This is season 18, episode 1 of I Should Be Writing, first one of the year, which means you know what we're going to be talking about. Hi there. Welcome to I Should Be Writing. This is the podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Mer Lafferty. I stream this show twice a week live on Twitch, twitch.tv/mightymer, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and then it appears in my podcast feed later on in the week. And it's weird. I'm coming off of a month off, and I'm thinking, well, I did some streams, so live I talked about stuff that happened in December, but I haven't done so on the podcast. So if you guys have been around for the past month and heard this, I hope I don't bore you, but I'm going to be going over a couple of things. It was a needed break. I was lucky enough to get most of my actual work done by the 10th or the 11th. 12th, that area, and then just was able to chill, relax, enjoy the season, and then we got ready for Worldcon. Worldcon was interesting. It was very strict, masks at all times, except in certain food places. We unfortunately got, Will, who's sometimes in chat, was so very kind to do mine and Numbers Ninja's hair and my makeup. So we got to the pre-Hugo cocktail party a little late. People trickle in at all times. So it wasn't like a huge problem, except that they had tables set to where if you want to sit down and don't want to catch COVID, they are non-eating and non-drinking tables, so basically you can chill there, but you can't eat or drink. Unfortunately, we got there, and all of the tables where you could take your mask off were full. Which, you know, was not bad overall, because, I mean, as reports have come out after the con, there were people, or at least one person in the room. I don't think we've figured out who yet. They're allowed to be anonymous. Somebody was in the room and positive at the time, didn't know it. So we dodged a bullet. Perhaps it's good that we sat in the can't eat or drink area, but it's a cocktail party. And it was an hour longer than usual because of there was a fire. And so we discovered that putting a bunch of people in a room with extraordinarily expensive alcohol, we got one drink ticket each, including sodas. I don't know if Numbers Ninja remembers how much the sodas were, but damn, they weren't cheap. And a bunch of people worried about the pandemic, and if they're hungry, there's nowhere to sit to eat, and they're nervous about the Hugos. Adding an hour onto that was not fun. Eventually, we just left. We're just like, there were a variety of reasons I'm not going to go into, but it's like, we were there, we were not having fun. My shoes were boring a hole into my heel. And I'm saying it in that way because my awesome, awesome assistant editor, Ben, he was like on the first floor, and so he ran back to his room to get me a cushion to put on my foot to protect it from any further blistering. At the end of the night, the cushion had a hole bored into it. I don't know what about my shoe was so evil, but he really, really saved me. So we went back upstairs and we went outside. It was very cold, but we didn't care. We were able to take our masks off. Talked to each other. I ran back inside and bought a drink that cost a lot less than they did downstairs. And I think the Hugos were better because of it. I actually meant to look into this. Because the Hugos started so late, the actual event was pretty streamlined. They had a couple of performers from local art schools. They had a drum line and they had a chorus. And that was really good entertainment. Very, very talented kids. And there wasn't a ton of banter. I've been in some long Hugo ceremonies. They can get painful. And then, of course, last year, giving George Martin a microphone and no limitations. We know that one was long. But anyway, if you haven't kept up, the Hugos were fantastic. It was a fun night. It really was. Let's see. I know I'm gonna forget something. Escape Pod was up for Best Semi-Pro Zine. That's the magazine that I co-edit with SB Divya, and Slice of Sci-Fi in the chat is one of our producers. We were all up for Best Semi-Pro Zine, and we got beat, but we got beat by Faya Magazine. Faya Magazine is a black-run, black-written speculative fiction magazine that's just phenomenal. And if anybody ever says, oh, I want to read more black sci-fi writers, I just can't find them. Faya, that's how you find them. They're right there. And they've done a lot to freshen up the genre, a lot. And they just do amazing stuff. We were lucky enough to hire one of the editors, Brent Lambert, for a guest editing position at Escape Pod last year. We did Black Future Month, so we hired a guest editor to buy some reprints and some new stories by Black authors. And so Brent was one of the he did the speech for Faya Magazine on stage, and it was so awesome seeing them win. It really was. I was so happy. So that was definitely not a bitter thing. I was very happy. And the next thing that happened was best editor, short form, which Divya and I were gobsmacked to be a finalist for. The other people in the category were like Sheila Williams and Alan Datlow and Charles Coleman Finlay and Neil Clark, Jonathan Strahan. Was he the fifth? I think. Anyway. So we knew we weren't going to win. These are titans in short fiction editing, and we even got a very sweet email from Sheila after the finalists were listed, just welcoming us to, congratulate, not welcoming us to the ballot, but more congratulating us. It was really, really sweet that she did that. And Ellen Datlow won, which was no surprise to anybody. But afterwards, we learned that Divya and I had the most first place votes. And I can't explain Hugo voting. I kind of understand it, but I can't explain it. I'm sure if you look around to figure out, I know that if somebody doesn't have the majority of first place votes, then they drop the bottom person from the ballot, and they rejigger everything else, and the rejiggering is how I don't get it. And then they count all the votes again. So after about three rounds of that, Ellen passed us. And then, like another round or two, she finally got the majority of the votes. This is to stop, a whole bunch of people piling on to affect the slate, I think. I don't fully understand it, but I know that's how it works. So basically, Divya and I were a very, very close second. I didn't expect to be in the top four. So that was very exciting and very humbling. And then Ursula, my good friend, she's been on the show several times. She won both the Lodestar and she won for short fiction. She won best short story. And I was a little annoyed with her because we actually went out together and had like an afternoon thing where we got facials and then we went and drank wine and wrote our speeches. And when we got to the con, she was like, yeah, I've completely rewritten mine. It's just going to be all about slime molds. And I said, why would you do this to me? And I don't know why I felt offended, because it's not like we're not up for the same awards. And I don't, it's not that I think she doesn't deserve it. I don't know why. Just, you know, we were supposed to be working together and getting this thing. And then she like ran off and did the thing about the slime molds. And if you keep up with the Hugo ceremony, I'm sure you know about slime molds now. Because Ursula was the one who did it. And so she got up there and talked about slime molds. She's trying to beat her Hugo speech from crap. 18? 19? When was Finland? 17. 17. Sorry. 2017. so yeah. She did an acceptance speech about whale fall. What happens when a whale dies, falls to the bottom of the ocean floor, and all the beings that come for miles to come have a potluck. It's not a potluck. They're actually coming to the food. Whatever. And you know what I just realized? Almost any ballot Ursula's gone is probably, she's probably going to win. Not because she's an amazing author, which she is, but because they want to see what kind of weird stuff she's going to come up with for her next speech. She was a little off-put by winning the short story because she didn't have a speech for that one. So she tried to talk about slime molds again. A few more facts. But that was fun. And then Martha Wells won two in a row. And they actually did a little skit thing. I said they didn't like do much entertainment. They were pretty streamlined. But Martha Wells won for best series for her Murderbot Diaries. Walks all the way up to the stage and gets her Hugo, does her speech, walks off the stage. And she's got to walk around the stage, all the backstage, and then back around here and get to her seat. So after she gets off stage, they're talking about best novel, and then they like do a everything's interrupted for the presidential motorcade. And I'm thinking, there's a reason they're doing this besides entertainment. I think it's probably because they gotta wait for Martha to get back to her seat. And that was it. They did their cute thing. Martha came back, got in her seat, sat down, and then got to stand up again when she won the Hugo for Best Novel. So, yeah, it was pretty amazing. Worldcon was, it felt very restrained because of always masking, trying to listen to people. I'll be honest, definitely not as much drinking. So that was good. Just because, just too much to fiddle with. We had like masks that went with two elastics and just, you can't just like lift and sip. It's like a whole thing to take off and then put back on. So that's good. But, yeah, it felt restrained. It felt a little nerve-wracking. But I got to see John Scalzi and Chrissy Scalzi and got to see my old agent, Jen. If you guys haven't heard, Jen is now with, crap, now I can't remember. She's with a comic book company. She's not doing freelance editing anymore. Well, she might be doing freelance editing, but she has a day job now. Anyway, actually, I just got an email from her. Neat! How about that for timing? AWA Studios. So she's doing, working for the comic publisher AWA Studios. So I got to see her. Didn't really spend a lot of time with Ursula and Kevin except for at the parties, but I see them here. Anyway, I'm glad it happened. it was, yeah, it was weird. It was, yeah, it was weird. But, you know, we're used to that in 2022, right? If you got any questions, ask them in the chat. I'm gonna check on chat in a minute. But it was a good convention. I did get to mock the business meeting a little bit when someone asked if the panel thought that they would ever change the requirements for short story, novelette, novella, or novel. And I'm like, have you been to the business meeting? No, they're never going to change that. Robert's Rules of Order, just, it makes it happen. Oh, and there was the fun thing with the Winnipeg bid. Apparently, and I'm speaking, this is hearsay, but from what I understand, they decided nearly at the last minute to vote on whether they should count votes for where to have the Hugo, the Worldcon in 2 years, if they should count votes without addresses on them. On one hand, I guess they have a point. On another hand, it's never been brought up before until China wanted the bid. And it was Winnipeg people who brought it up. And it was Winnipeg people who also said that they released the numbers of how many votes each of the bids had to sort of get people to vote for Winnipeg. I voted for Winnipeg because I don't really want to go to China, so that was selfish. China has more science fiction fans than anyone else. And I got to tell you, the biggest advance I've ever gotten was selling translation rights to China. So yeah, I love Chinese science fiction fans. I just don't want to go there. And, but when they won the bid, I'm just like, you know, you guys got meddled with. I think it's probably fair to let you have it, because that wasn't cool. We had some good news over the break, but I think I did those in streams, and now I'm not sure if I can easily find them. But if you have any good news, let me know. Good news from me. We like to do good news on this channel. And also remember that rejections are good news, because rejections mean you're a working writer. Good news for me, I didn't catch COVID at, you know, my family went to Worldcon. We did a convention and came home right at the time the spike was starting, and we lucked out. That's excellent news for me. It's been a low-key holiday season, but, and I think I'm feeling the strain of the pandemic. I don't know, that sounds ridiculous after 20 months, but I at least was good at lying to myself that I was handling things well. But now I'm starting to feel like, all right, this pack that we all picked up in March 2 years ago, it's getting heavy. I admit it now, it's getting heavy. So, been a little low-key, but we've been having a good time, the three of us. And yeah, so things are not perfect, but are they ever? So in the realm of what's going on now in the world, I'm doing great. Started a new book yesterday. Yeah, so anyway, that's my news. Not a whole lot specific, but it's a new year. I'm happy. We're going to talk about resolutions in a minute. If you have any good news to share in the chat, let me know. If you are hearing this later, email me with good news, and I will put it on the next show. Sweet, Shale! I had a pro-level zine hold a short story of mine for the first time. Congrats. Hit the yay button. See, I hit the yay button, too. Things are working. Do they still have it, Shale? Or, what happened with that? Hype in the chat. That's excellent. Thank you all. I made writing goals this year for the first time in ages. I might finish a story. Awesome, Crafter. Last week I got into a line at 5 a.m. outside to get free COVID rapid tests. Fourth try, finally got $1. Wow. Free tests. That's impressive. My good news, a new book released on the 21st. A book of blue heron griffins called The Crackling Sea. That's awesome. Yeah, won't know either way until March. Well, that's great that they got it. News. Finished that Victrola story. Friend who requested it liked it. Found one typo. I just put it up on Kindle for 99 cents. Congratulations, Tree Lobsters. That's right, kids are asleep. Finished her work in progress and now is revising it. Fantastic. I don't know how you can do that, by the way. I'm amazed. Because I can't. I gotta let a book sit for at least a week. And I know you finished that on New Year's Eve because I remember seeing you announce it. Finished my first short story for the year, first draft anyway. My goal is to write one a month. Excellent, Will. That's very cool. I guess it's good news that I wrote and subbed a story yesterday for the first time in a billion years. Of course, Preemie. Yes, it's very good. So much good news. Congrats, everyone, indeed. You should let it sit, but you're cleaning up for beta readers. I'm doing one more. Which is really good because, Will, what you said leads into our main topic, which is resolutions. I was thinking, sorry Underpope had to leave because this was inspired by him, but I was thinking about Underpope and if you're new to the show, Underpope did, his goal was 100 submissions last year. And granted, not 100 stories. And I actually don't know how many stories he used. But, you know, he had to at least, he wanted to do 100 submissions. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about the people who want to, like, the real go-getters in sales. And their goals are to make 100 phone calls and get 100 no's before noon. Because if they're working that hard to get the stuff, they're probably going to land on a yes faster. And the more you practice something, the better you'll get. The more better. Yeah, I'm a writer. So I decided to call this, in part, the Year of Rejection, because I want you guys to focus on getting as much done and get it out there. And if you think your goal is to be rejected, like all working writers experience, then the sting will lessen. It'll never go away. But it's like in martial arts when you learn to take a punch. That happened. Move on. So, make your goal, get a lot of rejections. I'm going to be changing the Patreon reward system. Not reward, benefits. Because I got a silly idea. I'm changing up for a variety of reasons. If you currently support via Patreon, nothing is going to happen to you or your tier. I am going to remove some tiers and switch some tiers for newcomers, not people who've been supporting for a while. But one thing I'm going to be doing is a rejection kit. I'm going to be sending out a jar and a bunch of little resin things. And when you get rejected, you throw one into the jar. And you keep doing that. I'll keep sending you more little toys. I basically got into the resin casting thing, and I had a lot of fun doing asterisks and pluses and ampersands, and then I'm like, what the hell am I going to do with a pile of asterisks and ampersands and pluses? So I thought, those could go in a jar. Yeah. So, all handmade. It's just supposed to be a fun thing. It's a little dopamine hit to your brain. I got a rejection. I get to put a thing in the jar. I'll send you different colors if you start getting acceptances. I just want... I want to lower the stigma of rejection. Because that is the number one reason people don't send stuff out. They don't want to be rejected. And they come up with so many reasons out loud that they're not ready to submit. But most of it's fear of rejection. I know. You can't hide it. Because I feel it. I feel it now. I'm delving into playing with new genres and new media, and these are all new to me. And so I think, oh God, I can't write a comic script. I'll get rejected. So what? Seriously, so what? If I write a comic script and I reject it, I'm still more of a comics writer than I am right now. So really, folks, embrace it. Make it the year of rejection. See how many you can get. Because when you focus on that, you will be creating a churning machine of story submissions. And you won't be wondering so much what's going to happen to this. You're just going to send it out. If you get a rejection, cool. Send it on to somebody else. I will remind you, as an editor, I want to say this. There's so many reasons your story can be rejected. And you're a bad writer is only one of those. I speak as an editor of a magazine that tries to do fun science fiction. If people send us really good fantasy or really good magical realism, fantasy, sci-fi, we're probably going to reject it because that's not what we're looking for. If people send us grim, dark, hell, awful, gore, assault, terribleness, that's brilliant. We don't want that either. If someone sends us something awesome, but we just bought two more stories with the same theme or same topics, probably going to reject that. And I will say, I don't know if I've ever done this because I usually see the pattern in myself. But I will admit there's some days when I look at the queue and I don't like any of them. And after about three no's, and this is me just like, this is not me sending out rejections, Divi and I talk about everything. But after three, like, I don't like this one, I don't like this one, I just think, is it me? Am I in a crappy mood? I think I might be. And so I step back. But you don't know. The editor might be in a terrible mood and you might have the bad luck of landing on their desk on a day they got the bad mood. Seriously. You might have something in your story that you don't know is a trigger for them. I know, okay, I don't know this for sure, but I'm about 95% sure I know of an agent who will not acquire, will not try to sell a book with a dead dog. Well, a dog that dies. She can't deal with, does the dog die? And so, if you sent her the most brilliant book in the world, and a dog dies, I'm not sure what she's going to do with that. The other thing I'm trying to do, and this has gotten rather silly, I'll tell you about an email I got in a minute. In trying to be more mindful of my ADHD, I've been realizing the times that I cut corners and I'm not very responsible, and as I say, half-ass it. This is mostly a clean podcast. I'm going to say ass a couple of times here. You know, I'll do just good enough. I'll take minor risks because I don't want to be thorough and not take any risks at all. And I'm talking about stupid stuff. I'm talking about trying to carry hot tea, a glass of water, my computer, and three books up the stairs to my office because I don't want to make two trips. And oh God, I spilled my tea. I've burned myself. I ruined my computer and the books are all soaked. If I hadn't done that, if I hadn't been half-assed, wouldn't have happened. So I'm trying to be mindful of this. In some cases, I'm finding out I do it a lot. It's just like, oh, that's another case of it, isn't it? On the other hand, I am glad that I'm trying to think about, you know, it's not a conscious thought. It's just a switch in your brain. It's like, there's a dirty dish. Am I going to pick it up? No. And you move on. Or yes, you pick it up. And I'm trying to think, why did I do that? Why do I want to leave that there? And this radiates to everything else. I'm not really talking about housework here. I'm talking about not looking something over before I send it out, because frankly, I'm tired of looking it over, and B, it's probably okay. Things like that. So my goal personally is to make, I think I finally came up with the term, the whole ass quotient, which is going to try to use my whole ass when I'm doing something and not half-assed. After sending this out to Patreon supporters, I got an email from a longtime supporter saying, "This is your fault." And he showed me a picture of a sticker that says, "Bring your whole ass to work today." So I was pleased. You said, Myrrh, that my second rejection was hardcore because I hadn't given up, but I haven't sent anything out since. I need to be listening to this podcast. Yes. Well, you were still hardcore because you got a second rejection. And I'm betting that the first, it's been a long time since my first and second rejections, but having the guts to go out there again after your first rejection is, it's really impressive. And there's been holidays, and you can point anywhere in the world today and say, "I'm a little stressed out because of that." And people will go, "Cool, no problem." Well, I'm going to have to figure out how, if Evil Myrrh works, if I got that working. Give me Evil Myrrh advice number 2. Okay, oh. Evil Myrrh. Summoned. Evil Myrrh number 2. Evil Myrrh says, "You're not a real writer until you write 4,000 words a day and have Neil Gaiman on speed dial. Is speed dial still a thing?" Well, have Gaiman's number on so Siri can access it, and you can say, "Hey Siri, call Neil," and all your friends will be impressed and stuff. That makes you a real writer. So, that's what Evil Myrrh says. Also, I think if you don't have Neil Gaiman on speed dial, you need to find out his phone number. So you need to badger him or the people he knows on Twitter for his number. And if you do that, he'll know that you're serious. Evil Myrrh. I think this one's gone. There's almost no adhesive left. One mustache down. Don't worry, I got a ton. I'm going to assume that went in. One day I hope there will be as many pieces of Evil Myrrh advice as there are rules of acquisition. Isn't that, aren't they like up into the 120s or 140s? So evil. 173 rules of acquisition, wow. Yeah, I do have on my list, my to-do list, to make some new Evil Myrrh posts. Right now we have 12? Wait, it says 12, but there's no 11. Where's 12? I mean, where is 11? That's weird. But let's touch a little bit on resolutions to start out with. I sometimes have the closed-mindedness thing of, if I have learned something, then clearly everybody else knows it too. So sometimes I feel weird repeating myself. But if you look at setting goals and making changes in your life, there's been a lot of studies that say you need to have concrete goals. You don't want to lose weight. You don't want to get fitter. You don't want to be a writer. You don't want to publish a story. I feel a little weird about the publishing thing. I'll get to that in a minute. But what you need to do is set goals to do the things that will get you to that nebulous thing. So you want to get fit. What are you going to do? Are you going to start cycling? Are you going to start running? Are you going to start weightlifting? And that's the goal you need. And I took a pretty intensive class on goal setting at this time last year, and still in touch with a lot of my classmates, and it's really fun catching up with them. But she says you should be able to do goal, you should place goals that involve other people. I'm saying that wrong. Essentially, I don't think you should make a goal be publish a novel, because it traditionally, Because you can't control the editor. You can control everything up to that, but not their decision. But she says, you know, again, I guess it's like the other Nebula stuff. If you want to get to here, what little things do you do along the way? And that could be take classes, join a writer's group, write more, write 1,000 words a day, write 1,000 words a day on weekdays, whatever. Which is why I'm saying you might trick the evil editor inside of you if you make the goal get rejections. Because you're not trying to sell a story, which it will stop you from doing. It will try to stop you from doing anyway. It'll tell you you suck. If you say, I just want a rejection, man, then what's the editor going to say? You suck? You can't get rejected? So, SMART goals, yes. Specific. Measurable. Oh, thank you, Meerkat. Meerkat's got it. Specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, time-bound. I will submit 5 separate pieces of writing this year, scheduling a minimum of 30 minutes per day of writing to reach that goal, but I will also forgive myself when things get out of the way of that happening. Yes, that's a good one. I've got 2 accountability groups going now. Also, I'm going to be doing some co-writing in the Discord, and I think that's at the lowest level of Patreon support. So if you want, I'm sorry, it's going to have to be on my schedule because I can only write when in certain times, but I'll be writing in the Discord, and I'll be, if you want to come and write with me, go for it. I'm also going to be doing what I'm calling shame streams, and I'm calling them that because that is what I feel. Last year was really hard. I had a lot of hiccups with editing and working with new editors, and it was just lots and lots. You know, I wanted the projects, both projects, to be done in the spring, and they were done at the end of October. And that was a long 6 months with going back and forth and back and forth. And it really brought me down. And one of my promised Patreon benefits last year was exclusive fiction, and I didn't get it done. So I'm going to be dedicating 2 writing streams a month to just writing the shame stream stuff. I'm going to catch up. I am removing the exclusive fiction from my Patreon starting on January 17th. But I'm still going to be working in the fiction that I owe people. That is a shame stream. That's a different level. So, yeah. We got more goals. Goal is to hand things in before deadline so editors don't break my legs. Premi, you're writing for the wrong people. We need to talk. You do notice when you took the assistant editor job, we did not give you a bat. And that's not because only editors get them. Kids are asleep. My goal is to edit the 2 books I wrote last year and outline and draft 2 books this year. Awesome. Accountability buddies are waving to each other in the Discord. You can join the Discord for the lowest level, $1 a month right now at the Patreon. People have made buddies in the Discord, and it's not really a writer's group that I know of. Correct me if I'm wrong, folks, but it's more of, hey, buddy, I did this much writing today. How did it go? Etc. 700 words a week. That's awesome. That's a good goal. I'm going to go ahead and close off the podcast part. All right. Thank you for listening to I Should Be Writing. If you're new, I would love it if you checked out Merverse.com or checked us out live on Tuesdays and Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. twitch.tv/MightyMer. I'm also on Twitter/MightyMer, and you can support Patreon via Patreon, patreon.com/MightyMer, there, where you can get access to the archives. This is season 18. I got a lot of archives. Archives, extended episodes. I'm going to be doing behind-the-scenes videos for certain levels of Patreon. The rejection kit. It's going to get really interesting over there. co-writing streams, shame streams. I'm keeping the kick in the pants workshop. Not a lot of people do it, but those who do seem to really get a lot out of it. I am moving it to be nestled up against these streams, so I'll be more likely to be around for them. I had them leave my head too often last year, and then I'd be like, oh God, it's 12 o'clock. I'm out grocery shopping, and I'm supposed to run a workshop. Kick in the Pants workshop, by the way, is I send you a prompt. You work for 1,000 words or 30 minutes, whichever comes first, and then we meet on Discord and talk about it. It's not a story. It's not a big crafting workshop. It's just, what did this make you think about, and how did it go, and let's support each other. That's the Kick in the Pants workshop. So yeah, that's how you find me online. Support the podcast. You can either leave a review, join the Patreon, tell a friend, whatever. Whatever is good. But keep it up. Whether you make review resolutions or not, you should be writing. I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at merverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support. Doctor Who. I'm sitting home watching Doctor Who.